Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. That song is such a wonderful prayer. Fill this place with your atmosphere. And I believe he's done that and will continue to do it. Doug Job is about a month removed post heart surgery. So we think everything's good, but we're taking precautions. So just pray along those lines. And so if anything changes, we'll let you know. So we started a series last week. Last week I shared with you the title of the series and the title of that first message, The Magnificent Savior. I'm going to go to my notes here. He is magnificently worthy. I hope and pray that you have lived in that reality this week. He is a magnificent king, and he is your king whether you have ever admitted that or not. He is magnificently just. All of the injustice you see going on today, he's going to take care of that. He's magnificently just. That's the football player. some guy named Lee, one of the famous preachers in our day, he said that God's wills of justice grind slowly, but they grind completely. And so you don't have, I get it. You do worry. You do fret in the such, but that's where faith comes in. God's going to take care of this. And then lastly, last Sunday morning, he is magnificently humble. He's got all that power, power that we cannot describe and explain, and he's humble. He told his people, he said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And if you're like me, you think, boy, Lord, it doesn't feel that way. Well, that's because we're still fighting. When we surrender, it becomes much lighter, much easier. Last Sunday night, we talked about the intellectual Savior. That was the second component of this 8-sermon series. He had 4 rounds after he came through the triumphal entry and after he took care of business in the temple. He cleared it out of the money changers and the such, the cheaters, the liars, the greedy scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. He sat down after he healed the lame and the blind. He sat down and he talked 4 times. He answered and rebutted the scribes, Pharisees' questions. They were trying to trick him so that they could kill him. And he is intellectual. He had the answers that shut them up. After the 4th rebuttal, the scripture says they no longer tried, because they realized they were dealing with someone much greater intellectually than them. And this isn't meant to be anything but real. You're dealing with someone much greater intellectually than you or I. And he's infinite. He knows. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Today, and this is in chronological order, but not all of the things that are there in the last week of Christ, but these are the high points for the leadership of the Holy Spirit that I wanted to bring to you in this simple 8-sermon series, the giving Savior. We're talking here, hang on just a second, series all worked up about something. The giving Savior, and we're starting in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. If you will turn there, I'll have you stand in a moment, but I need to catch you up on some things that I really cannot afford to forget. The first I've shared with you that I do plan to go to the funeral service. Please be praying for that family in that situation. Then this evening, 5:30, we have our practice for Easter walk. 6:30, we'll have our service where we'll do another installation of these sermons. And then Tuesday, I am leaving to go on a revival for Omen Baptist Church Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then of course, Friday is our renewal retreat for our men with all the other men of the association that come. It'll start, we're still If we've got your name and number, you will be in the know as to when we're leaving here. We plan to take at least one van, maybe two type thing to get down there. I will be leaving separately because I got some pre-stuff to do. But we're hoping to start no later than 6:30 with supper and go from there with the sessions. But we will be done Saturday anywhere from noon latest at 2. At 2 o'clock, we're going to quit whether we're done or not so people can get back to things that they have waiting for them at home. And then next Sunday, normal, quote unquote, as normal as it gets, Sunday morning services. And then 5, Brother Tom, do we want to just start at 5? Okay, so we're going to start at 5. That is our pre-dress rehearsal. So this is the last rehearsal next Sunday. Hopefully the weather's good. Pray to that point that we can get out and walk the trail. Are we going to walk tonight?
To be determined.
All right, and you're giving out costumes tonight. Amen. So very important tonight. But then next week, and then so we've got a bunch of stuff that we need to do next Sunday night. For one thing, we need to pray. We need to beg God for our Easter walk. I lovingly challenge the first service. If you haven't done this yet, take as much time as you can afford, 10, 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and just sit with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, tell me everything that I haven't prayed about that I need to for Easter walk. If you haven't prayed about weather yet, you need to pray about weather. If you haven't prayed about the golf carts yet, you need to pray about the golf carts. So on and so forth. Just let him lead you in that. Write it down. Make your prayer list type thing. But then we have Tony's going to be back, and I want him to share. Melody most likely will be sharing with you about her last year's mission trip and the such. So we're going to take time for that. But the most important thing that we'll be doing besides that, that's important, is to pray for our Easter walk. So next Sunday evening from 5 till 7:30-ish is going to be given to the Easter walk and the missionaries. Yes?
The only need we have, I know a lot of people have talked about the kitchen, the fire crew. We just need names on the sheets so we can bring it all together. So there's not very many names on the parking and drivers and that. So if you're planning on doing that, if you could jot your name down, that'd be great.
Amen. So if you've told somebody, yeah, I'll do that, we need your name. And if you haven't told somebody that you'd do that and you don't have anything else to do, put your name on there, please. Please. We need your help in those areas. Those are very important areas. All right. And then many of you have asked about Dawn. We're living for April the 7th. April the 7th is when she has the complete hysterectomy. And so please be praying for that point. Also, you've asked about Molly. Molly's doing much better. She's getting around much better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. And for all those of you that have helped in that, thank you so much. So those are the things I felt like I needed to share. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy work, Mark chapter 12. The giving Savior. When I was looking through the chronological order of events and I came to the widow's mite, I thought, yeah, I want to preach on that. And when I started thinking of the whole point of the series, the magnificent Savior, the widow is very comparable to the Savior. They both, to a large degree, did the same thing. They gave all. They gave all. The giving Savior. And Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. So the family has asked us to pray specifically for Doug, Job. They are asking for an ambulance to come. And so we're going to carry on and the such, but we're going to pray for them right now. Here we go. Lord, you know exactly what's going on. We lift Doug up to you. We ask you to place him on the altar of your mercy. We beg you, Father, if it be your holy will, to give him the healing that he needs. We pray that you bless this ambulance as they come. Father, we just give you all the glory, and we pray that we would do just that as you heal him and bring him through this for your glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. Have you got my phone, babe? Don't you love it when God comes to church? So, I've shared this with you before. If you want this, I can certainly send it to you. We're most likely going to hear sirens here in just a moment. So, this is the prayer that the Holy Spirit has led me to. If I could spell, I'll be able to get it to you. Hang on a second. They're already here. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Dear Lord, I hear the siren. You're calling me to prayer. I ask for the driver and for their strictest care in driving and handing out assistance. I ask for the rider to arrive safely and have wisdom in caring for those injured and to help in any instance. I ask for the person being helped that those attending will be able to manage their emergency and preserve life safely and effectively. If it is a matter of justice, protect everyone involved and may justice prevail. May everyone involved in the siren call have a personal relationship with you overall and use this situation to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Anytime I hear the siren, I try to pray that. I had gotten lackadaisical, and about 2 weeks ago, the Lord reminded me that this was still a worthy thing to do. If we had perfect perspective and we worked in any of these fields, we would want everybody that knows the Lord to pray that prayer or a prayer similar to it for us when we are called. So, the giving Savior. Questions to answer. This is point number one. What was she doing by giving all? First of all, I want to make sure that you know this isn't a message on tithing, even though tithing is going to be mentioned. It's not a message on giving your offerings above tithing, even though that's going to be mentioned. It is a message on the condition of your heart and where it should be in relation to giving, and not just finances, but your entire life. Where is your heart? And secondly, who are you looking to? Who are you looking to when things get tough? Who are you calling upon when things get tough, whether it's financial, socially, intellectually, mentally, family, fill in the blank? Who do you call to? And church, if our hearts are where they should be, we're going to look to God and God alone to help us in our situation. So what was she doing by giving her all? Her needs were greater than her resources. Don't raise your hand, but all of us at some point have been in that situation when our needs were greater than our resources. And therefore, she obviously felt led to give all she had to the only one that had resources greater than her needs. Can you imagine what's going on here? What is actually taking place in this widow's life? She's standing there with her two mites, and she's trying to follow what God is telling her, but she's thinking of all the things that she needs. Also, God, you know that I don't have money for that. You know that this is coming up. You know that I could use these two mites, but I want you to give them to me. I want you to give them to me because I will take care of all that stuff. Okay. Now, who knows? It may have been one of those things where she was just skipping and whistling to that treasury. And most likely, once she had already dealt with the other, she possibly could do that. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. But the reality is that most likely she was like you and me, and she had a little tussle with the Lord first. Church, that's okay as long as the Lord wins. It's okay to tussle with the Lord in these areas as long as the Lord wins. This was her act of faith in saying, I'm looking to you, God, and you only for my significance and security. We have a picture of someone else that was not there, meaning in faith, Philip. Philip saith, this is John chapter 14, verse 8 through 15. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We actually have this in the Easter walk. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I spake unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Philip, who was walking on that water? Philip, who has raised these people from the dead? God himself inside of me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So that widow had had her struggle with the Lord, and she had come to the place, Lord, I believe you're going to take care of all this. I'm going to give you whatever you ask for. My life is yours. And this was before the crucifixion of Christ, but watch this. It wasn't before the prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ. And remember, Old Testament saints are saved by believing forward to the cross. We are saved by believing back to the cross. And this widow was absolutely believing that God would not just take care of her financial resources, but God would take care of her spiritual resources through the finished work of his Messiah. She didn't know to say Jesus Christ at that point, but she could say the Messiah, the Christ. This was her mantra. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. How is this woman like the Savior? These are still under point number one, questions to ask. The act was the same. They both gave all, but the end results were foundational. She gave out of her lack, but gave all to receive the riches of God for her needs. Jesus gave all of his abundant righteousness so that God could meet us in our bankruptcy. You see, church, she had a great need that she allowed God to meet by giving him all that she had. She was showing faith. Jesus gave all he had so that he could bring faith to us. Church, you and I are not going to grow to the level that we should grow until we understand everything about our lostness, B.C., before Christ. Until we understand who we were before Christ, we were lost and undone. There was nothing good within us to commend us to God. Jesus is our only way to heaven. He's our only hope of heaven. And he gave of the abundance of his righteousness so that we could come out of our bankruptcy. Folks, I'm telling you, he's better than Silicon Valley Bank. You're never going to have to worry about them going default. Never. Never. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Both were giving to God. They're all to receive from him. The widow for herself, the Savior for all mankind. Both had saving faith, the widow for her and hers, and the Savior for us all. Point number two, practical lessons from the widow's mite. I love this. And church, as I was studying, the Holy Spirit filled that office over there, and he put his finger in my chest. You and I should not take pride in what we give to the Lord. We should be thankful and grateful that he has provided that we can. And we should give it as a cheerful giver. But one of the purposes of the tithe, and yes, I do believe that the tithe is still active in New Testament times. I believe it is an Old Testament command and a New Testament design. I believe God wants you and I to tithe for the support of his kingdom work. He leads us many times to give offerings above the tithe for his kingdom work. Watch this. But he's as concerned as what's left as he is what you gave. J. Vernon McGee said he's not as concerned of the portion as he is the proportion that's left. Church, it's all his. Every 100% of it is his. He's asking you, what are you going to do with it? That 90%, whatever's left, you and I are still, if you will, on the hook to use that for his glory. He doesn't look at what you gave, but what you have left and what you do with it. He's more interested in surrender than he is commitment. If we're not careful, 10% and an offering just becomes a commitment. Yeah, I'll do that. No problem. I got 90% to do what I want to with. No, that's not right. That's not the spirit he's trying to teach us. We give the tenth and an offering out of a loving discipline and a gratefulness that he has provided the 100%. And then we ask him to lead, guide, and direct us how to do the other 90% that's left. Point number three, three indisputable tells. You got friends that have tells? Most husbands, you know the tell of your wife when she's mad. Most of you, she hadn't talked to you in a week. I'm kidding. Hopefully that's not her tell. But everybody has tells. Watch this. Here's the three tells to God where your heart is. The first one is your praise. What do you praise? What are you constantly talking about? What means the world to you? Church, that should be Jesus. That should be Jesus. Now, we can enjoy our hobbies, and we can give some praise for our hobbies, but never to the point that people go, I don't think he likes that more than Jesus type thing. It can't be that way. And we all know what that struggle is. We all have something that yearns to take our attention in such a way from God. And Brother Gavin quoted it Wednesday night. This is one of my favorite quotes. I think it's original with me, but I very honestly can't remember. I don't know, but I love it. Watch this. What you show your greatest emotional intensity to tells who is truly the love of your life. People say, Brother Ben, I don't understand idolatry in 2023. In this Bible time, idolatry was simple. They would walk up to a statue and worship it, put fruits there, put money there. They would worship that idol. That was idolatry. And they were giving you more emotional intensity to that idol than they were God. You know why? They could give that and walk away and then do whatever they wanted to do. And a lot of the stuff that they did in the name of the idol fed their flesh. Some of the gods in little g of the Bible time, sexual immorality was a part of the practice. Wow. In 2023, we have a lot of that still going on. Watch this, church. And today doesn't have to be a statute, but it's anything that you and I give more emotional intensity to than God. And all of a sudden, it gets real. So how can you tell? Well, what do you praise? And you give God just as much, if not more, praise than you do that situation. What about your expenditures? What do you give your money to? That's one of the best ways. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How about your time usage? Well, I ain't got time for that, preacher. Why not? Why not? Make time. Joy Ragsdale famously said, if you're too busy to serve the Lord, you're too busy. Amen. May her tribe increase. Greatest. Oh, we've already said hit that. Number four, practical applications. Church, Christ is our example. He gave all for you and I. I love this. Are you ready? Your impact is not decided, determined, or limited by your income or possessions. Brother Ben, I do more for the Lord. I just don't have the money. You got any time? Oh, well, I'm busy. There's all sorts of things that you and I can do for the Lord that does not require finances. Prayer, serving, giving of our time to help people. I mean, fill in the blank. And so I want you to hear that one more time. Your impact is not decided, determined, or limited by your income or possessions. Your impact is decided, determined, and only limited by your assignment. Once you know it, give yourself to it with abandon. Brother Ben, I don't know what my assignment is. Well, you probably do, and you're just not aware of it. Where are you working? Well, so-and-so. Do you feel called to it? Well, yeah. Assignment. Who you married to? So-and-so. Assignment. Kids. Assignment. Church. Assignment. All those things are part of your assignment. This may be a shock to some of you. Most of you have heard this before. In college, I believed that God was going to use me as a revival preacher. preacher. Hasn't happened, even though I'm going this week to a revival. I preach maybe 1 to 2, 4 tops a year. Haven't done 4 in years. Why is that? Because this is my assignment. And I learned it as I went along. God didn't open the door to revival. Praise the Lord. That wasn't what He built me for. He built me for this. He's got an assignment for you. Church, when you and I find our assignment and we give our time, money, and energy, and prayer, and Bible study to it, you're going to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You're going to get all sorts of excited for what He has for you to do. No one has ever impacted the world more than Christ, and He had no discernible possessions. None. So how did He do it? Love, compassion, service, healing, sacrifice. So, and we're almost done. General assignment, the gospel. You, church, we're supposed to share the gospel. That's our general assignment. Do it. Family, you're supposed to be the best husband, the best wife, the best child you can be in your family. Church, knock yourself out for your church. Specific assignment. Now, this is something that many times will involve those, well, will all the time involve those three, but my point is many times there's going to be something specific about your assignment. Find out what it is. The Holy Spirit will lead you. When He does, throw yourself at it with abandon. And this always brings us to the next step. There's a next step. I don't know how many times the Lord has brought me back to that. Lord, what is my next step? I was able this week to verbalize what is my next step. We need to be able to do that. If you want help with that, give me a call type thing. We need to know what our next step in our assignment is. Watch this. So we can be like our Savior and give our all for it. I heard this now. It's the wrong season, but I heard this from a football coach, but I love it. It's basketball season, if you didn't know. This football coach always told his players, be where your feet are. That's mind-numbingly brilliant. Be where your feet are. So what he's telling his players is that wherever you're at in the play, wherever your feet find you, do something footballish. Don't just, you know, no, hit somebody. Grab the ball. Something. Wherever you find your feet, be there. Church, where do you find your feet? Well, I'm in Sunday school. All right. Share well, care well, teach well. I'm in CR. Be there. The people in front of you, they're the ones that God has given you to work with and the such. Well, I'm a deacon. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. We've got some of the best, if not the best, in churches that I've ever been to. Where do your feet find you? Be all there. I felt like I failed a little bit last night because I got distracted. And I got away from where my feet were for just a little bit. Boy, the Holy Spirit was quick to... And I, praise the Lord, I responded, and I even told my wife about it. And I'm like, man, I hope I didn't communicate the wrong message to somebody, because that's possible. Church, we are a billboard for Jesus, or we're a billboard for something else. I want to be a billboard for Jesus. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? Is there someone here that can give us an update on Doug? All right. Praise the Lord. So if you didn't hear that, he is in the ambulance on his way to the hospital. He got a stent put in about a month ago. And so I believe it was one of his daughters basically said that I believe he just needs some oxygen because he was out of wind and the such. And I don't know, Jeff, if you can, if you should or whatever. Say again. He walked to the ambulance. All right. So let's pray along those lines during this invitation time. So, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as Savior, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. We'll share the gospel with you. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate, and we'll settle that today. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join this church. Whatever the case may be, will you come?